For most of human history, there was no refrigerator humming in the corner of the kitchen. There was no grocery store around the block stocked with fresh produce every day of the year. Yet people survived through hard winters, long droughts, and lean seasons. They did it by preserving the food they grew, hunted, and gathered when it was plentiful, so it would still be good to eat when it was scarce. This ancient set of skills fed our ancestors for thousands of years, and reclaiming those methods is one of the most genuinely self-sufficient moves a prepper can make today. Food preservation is the skill that turns a good harvest, a lucky hunt, or a bulk deal into a reliable reserve you can lean on when you need it. It is the bridge between getting food and keeping food. In this orientation, you will learn why preservation matters so much to a self-reliance plan, get a clear look at the major methods, learn how to match the right method to the food in front of you, and understand why food safety must never be treated as an afterthought. This article is a starting point that will point you toward detailed guides for each technique. Think of it as your map to the whole territory. Why preservation is the multiplier? Before we had electricity and cold storage, food preservation was not a hobby. It was survival. Families salted meat, dried fruit, buried root vegetables in cool cellars, and packed cabbage into crocks to ferment. These were not fancy techniques reserved for experts. They were everyday knowledge passed down through generations because a household that could not make its food last simply would not make it through the winter. When you learn these methods today, you are not just picking up a quaint old skill. You are stepping back into a tradition of independence that kept people alive for most of human history. Here is the heart of why this matters for a prepper. Your food comes from somewhere. Maybe you grow it in a garden, harvest it from a hunt, pull it from a river or lake, or buy it in bulk when the price is right. All of these are the get side of your food plan, and they connect directly to the gardening, hunting, and fishing skills you may already be building. But raw food from any of these sources shares one big problem. It spoils. A garden that suddenly gives you 50 pounds of tomatoes is a gift, but only for a few days. A deer taken in the fall is a lot of meat, but fresh meat will not last. A great sale on rice or beans is only a good deal if the food stays good. This is where preservation earns its place. It is the connective skill that turns a perishable pile of abundance into a shelf-stable reserve you can count on. Without it, a glut of fresh food is almost worthless, because it rots before you can eat even a fraction of it. With it, that same glut becomes jars, bags, and containers of food that sit ready on your shelf for months or years. Preservation is the step that feeds into the keep side of your plan, which is your long-term food storage. A skill that keeps producing. There is an important difference between buying a stockpile and building a preservation skill. When you buy a stack of canned goods and boxes, you own exactly what you paid for and nothing more. Every meal you eat from it shrinks that pile a little. It only goes down, never up. A stockpile is a snapshot. It never grows on its own. A preservation skill works the opposite way. Once you know how to can, dry, ferment, or cure, you can do it again and again, every season, for the rest of your life. A skill is a source, not just a supply. This is why it acts as a force multiplier. It takes whatever food you can produce or acquire and multiplies its value by making it last. One good gardener who can preserve a harvest builds far more security than one who lets the extra rot on the vine. The key idea to hold on to from the very start is this. No single technique fits every food. A capable household does not pick one method and force everything into it. Instead, it learns several methods and matches each one to the food and the situation. That matching skill is what the rest of this article is here to teach you. Common preservation methods at a glance. There are many ways to preserve food, and each one has strengths and weaknesses. This section gives you a quick tour so you can see them side by side. It will not teach you how to do any one of them fully. That level of detail belongs in the dedicated guide for each method, and you should always turn to those guides before you actually try a technique. Think of this as a menu, not a recipe. Canning seals food in jars and heats it enough to destroy the organisms that cause spoilage. There are two very different kinds, and the difference matters for your safety. Water bath canning uses a pot of boiling water and is only safe for high acid foods like most fruits, jams, and pickles. Pressure canning uses a special pot that reaches much higher temperatures and is required for low acid foods like vegetables, meats, and beans. Properly canned food can last a year or more on a shelf. Canning requires jars, lids, and either a water bath pot or a pressure canner, along with careful attention to tested recipes. Pressure canning in particular is a safety critical skill that must be learned in full from a trusted guide. Dehydrating and drying. Drying removes the water that microbes need to grow. You can dry fruits, vegetables, herbs, and meats such as jerky. Dried food is light, takes up little space, and can last many months to a year or more when stored well. You can use an electric dehydrator, an oven on low heat, or even the sun and air in the right climate. This makes drying one of the more flexible methods, since some versions do not depend on the grid at all. Salting and curing. Salting and curing use salt, and sometimes other agents, to draw moisture out of food and make it hostile to spoilage. This is a classic way to preserve meat and fish. Cured hams and salted fish can last for months. The method needs salt, care, and a cool place, and it demands precise handling because mistakes can allow dangerous bacteria to grow. This is a technique to study carefully before trying. Smoking exposes food, usually meat or fish, to smoke from a slow fire. It adds flavor while helping to dry and preserve the food. Smoking is often paired with salting or curing for the best results. Preserved this way, food can keep for weeks or longer depending on the method. You need a smoker or a setup that can hold low, steady heat and smoke over time. Like curing, it carries real safety concerns. Fermenting uses helpful bacteria to change food in a way that preserves it and often makes it more nutritious. Sauerkraut, kimchi, and many pickles are made this way. Fermented foods can last for months in cool storage. The equipment is simple, often just a jar or crock, salt, and thyme. Fermenting is one of the most accessible and grid-independent methods, though cleanliness and correct salt levels still matter. Pickling preserves food in an acidic liquid, usually vinegar, sometimes combined with canning for longer shelf life. Cucumbers, onions, peppers, and many vegetables take well to pickling. Depending on the method, pickled foods last from a few weeks in the fridge to a year or more when canned. It needs vinegar, salt, jars, and tested recipes to be sure the acid level is safe. Root cellaring and cold storage. Root cellaring is the old practice of storing whole vegetables in a cool, humid, dark space. Potatoes, carrots, onions, beets, squash, and apples can last for months this way with no processing at all. The equipment is really a suitable space, such as a basement, a buried container, or a purpose-built cellar. It needs almost no energy, which makes it a strong grid-independent option, but it depends on having the right conditions and the right crops. Freezing is the most familiar method to most people today. It stops spoilage by keeping food frozen solid, and it works for almost everything with little skill required. Frozen food can last many months. The catch is obvious and important. Freezing depends completely on electricity. A freezer full of food is only as good as the power keeping it cold, which makes it the least reliable choice when the grid goes down. Choosing the right method. This is the practical heart of the whole article. Knowing the methods is only half the battle. The real skill is looking at the food in front of you, considering the resources you have, and choosing the right way to preserve it. A capable prepper does not memorize a rigid chart. Instead, they build a way of thinking that helps them make good calls in any situation. Start with the food you have. Different foods lean toward different methods. Let us walk through some common preparedness situations. Say your garden hands you a huge glut of vegetables all at once. Tomatoes might go into water bath canning as sauce or salsa. Green beans and corn, being low acid, would need pressure canning. Cucumbers are perfect for pickling or fermenting. Herbs dry easily. Potatoes and onions go straight into root cellar storage. One garden glut might be handled by 4 or 5 different methods at the same time. Now say you have a deer or other large game. That is a lot of meat that must be handled quickly. Some can be canned, some can be turned into jerky through drying, some can be salted or cured, and some can be smoked. If you have a working freezer, some can be frozen, but a smart prepper thinks about what happens if that freezer loses power. A big haul of fish is similar. Fish can be salted, /post/salting for food preservation, smoked, canned, or dried, and each choice depends on how much time and equipment you have and how you want to eat it later. A bulk grocery deal is a little different, since dry goods like rice, beans, and flour are often already shelf-stable. Here, preservation shifts toward proper storage that keeps out moisture, pests, and air. Grid dependence is a deciding factor. For a prepper, one question stands above the rest when choosing a method. Does it depend on the grid? A freezer full of food feels like security, but that security vanishes the moment the power goes out. In a long outage, an accident that damages infrastructure, or a slow disaster, a freezer can turn a full reserve into a spoiled mess in a day or two. This is why it makes sense to lean toward grid-independent methods for your core preparedness reserve. Canning, dehydrating, salting, fermenting, and root cellaring all produce food that keeps without any electricity. These methods put your food security in your own hands rather than in the hands of the power company. Freezing still has a place for convenience and short-term use, but it should not be the backbone of a serious plan. Build skills one method at a time. Nobody learns all of this at once, and trying too is how people end up learning none of it. Every method here takes repetition to get right. Your first batch will be slow and a little anxious, you will second guess the timing, and you will probably lose a jar or a tray along the way. That is not failure. That is the tuition, and it is far cheaper to pay it now than during a season when the harvest matters. Start with one method. Pick the one that fits what you actually grow, catch, or buy in volume, gather the supplies it needs, and then practice it until it stops feeling like a project. Preserve something this month, and again the next time that food comes in. Repetition is what turns a procedure you have to look up into a skill you simply have, and a skill you have is the only kind you can count on when the power is out and the stakes are real. Once a method is second nature, add the next one. Food safety warning. Food preservation is powerful, but it must be treated with respect. Some of these methods carry real risk when they are done wrong, and the danger is not always something you can see, smell, or taste. This is not a topic to skim past. Understanding the risks is part of being a capable and responsible prepper. The clearest danger, botulism in canning. The single most serious hazard in home preservation is botulism, a rare but deadly illness caused by a toxin that can grow in improperly canned low-acid foods. This is exactly why pressure canning exists. Low-acid foods like vegetables, meats, and beans must reach temperatures higher than boiling water can provide, and only a pressure canner can safely get them there. Using a water bath canner for a low-acid food, or guessing at times and pressures, can create a jar that looks perfectly fine but contains a toxin that can kill. This is why you must never rely on a casual summary or a guess. You must use tested recipes and follow exact procedures, times, and pressures from a trusted, detailed guide. Risks in curing, smoking, and fermenting. Canning is not the only method that demands care. Curing and smoking meat and fish involve controlling salt, temperature, and moisture to keep dangerous bacteria from growing. Get the salt level or timing wrong, and you can create unsafe food. Fermenting is generally safe when done correctly, but it still depends on clean equipment and the right amount of salt to make sure the good bacteria win and the bad ones do not. Each of these methods has its own rules, and those rules exist because people learn the hard way what happens when they are broken. Learn the method before you use IT. This article is an orientation, not an instruction manual. It exists to show you the landscape of food preservation, help you match a method to what you have, and give you the judgment to choose well. What it deliberately does not do is teach you the exact steps for any single technique, because those steps are where safety lies. Times, temperatures, pressures, salt ratios, and processing schedules are not details you can approximate. They are tested values, and preservation is unforgiving of guesswork. Improperly canned food can harbor botulism, which you cannot see, smell, or taste, and improperly cured meat carries risks just as serious. Treat learning the method as a mandatory step between reading this and preserving anything. The National Center for Home Food Preservation has detailed canning instructions and recipes. Our search for food preservation training in your area and learn the skills. Conclusion: food preservation is the connective skill that ties your whole food plan together. It stands between the food you get through gardening, hunting, fishing, and buying, and the food you keep in long-term storage. Master it, and a perishable glut becomes a lasting reserve instead of a pile of waste. Unlike a bought stockpile that only shrinks, this is a skill that keeps producing value for as long as you use it. Start by studying one method that fits the food you already handle most, then add others over time. When you are ready to actually preserve something, move on to the detailed method guides and follow them exactly. That is where the real hands-on learning begins.